Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The guys on the big show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet. Well, it's the big show. It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now open for the 2019 racing season. With new events throughout the year, now is the time to go to GreatLakesDragway.com and plan out your summer of racing. Pick up a discounted ticket package or a season pass that will pay for itself after 3 visits. So pick up yours today.
Wendy's Big Show live out here at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Bar's starting to fill up. Pro Hoops Draft within an hour away from right now. And we have another trade in the top 10, Sparky. And this one, I'm going to have to start, like, just writing down by hand the draft order here because it's getting a little bit confusing. We already had the New Orleans Pelicans trading the 4th overall pick that they got in the Anthony Davis deal from the Los Angeles Lakers, sending that to the Atlanta Hawks.
They send number 4. Solomon Hill, number 57, and a second-round pick to the Hawks. The Pelicans get back 8, 17, and 35. Okay, fine. Atlanta's expected to get Virginia's DeAndre Hunter at 4. Fine.
Stretch 3-and-D guy. Really okay. Good, prolific college player.
Right, solid. Okay, now Minnesota, that had been rumored all day trying to get up to 4, apparently finally got themselves a deal done. Minnesota has traded number 11 and Dario Saric, former Sixer, to the Suns, who earlier traded T.J. Warren to the Cavs, earlier, like an hour ago, and number 32 and T.J. Warren for cash to the Pacers from the Suns. The Suns now get Dario Saric and 11, and they gave up pick number 6, and that's according to Adrian Wojnarowski, who said Minnesota tried to get 4, couldn't, tried to get 5, couldn't, and finally was able to get number 6, and I would assume they're going for a guard. That's what I'm assuming, but that means they're going to have to trade Teague. More Wiggins, and I don't think there's suitors for either.
I just don't get what Phoenix's plan here is, because you need a point guard. You need a point guard to run things next to Devin Booker, along with getting the ball to DeAndre Ayton, who was the number one pick last year. It doesn't make too much sense to me.
But they've got cap room. They've got cap room to do something,
Kemba,
and that's what
Walker
they decide.
Or a D'Angelo Russell, maybe?
D'Angelo Russell. That seems to be what would make the most sense. Still a young guy.
For sure.
With Devin Booker in that backcourt.
I like D'Angelo Russell. I still think he's a really, really good NBA player. He was an all-star this year.
Right. So that might make sense. Just looking at guys that would still be there, Darius Garland would still be there. That's who I like. Cam Reddish, mm-hmm. I'll pass. Jared Culver might still be there. That might not be a bad pick at that point.
You can fill it up from Texas Tech, that's for sure.
White.
Yep. Kobe White, I think he's going to be a really, really good player. More of a catch-and-shoot point guard, that's for sure, though.
Yeah, I mean, those are the guys we're talking about here. I mean, I don't know what else they're looking for.
They're not going big. They're not going with a large dude. They got to Karl Anthony Towns. So I don't know if they're
– right. It's all wing players.
They can't really get another wing because what are you going to look for with Wiggins?
They got to trade Wiggins or they got to trade Teague or rotate these guys in, is my guess.
And how much are they paying Teague? Almost $19 million a year? Something like that? It's Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane here on the Wendy's Big Show out at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha.
All right, Jeff Teague. Remember, they had Derrick Rose, too, last year.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Jeff Teague is making $19 million this year and is a free agent in 2020. So he's in the last year of his deal. So pretty much what you're doing here is you're drafting your point guard, hopefully Garland for their sake, and if you can't move Teague, he's your replacement for Teague after this year.
Sure. And also, though, with a Jeff Teague, wait a month into the year, that's an expiring deal that you might be able to get something for.
You still might be able to move him this summer.
Sure.
You might be able to do something later in the summer for a team.
Expiring contracts are always valuable. I don't know what.
See, if Phoenix.
That Minnesota team is
wild. See, this is the thing.
Wild.
So if Phoenix,
on, Phoenix
wasn't convinced that they could get one of these free agents at top dollar, then wouldn't you have taken Jeff Teague in that deal?
Yeah,
with 1 year left,
I would have wanted some point guard to show Devin Booker that I'm serious.
Right. So you could have had Teague for a year and then moved on from that $19 million after this year, or moved him later in the season, as you said, at the trade deadline or whatever else if you're not in it. Instead, they opt not to do that, and I'm guessing they're going to throw a ton of money, more than likely, at D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, D'Angelo, I mean, that would be it, because it appears that Brooklyn wants Kyrie Irving over D'Angelo Russell, and they renounced the rights. They didn't care.
You haven't heard the latest? Brooklyn having second thoughts about Kyrie if they can't get Durant too.
Well, finally, the dude thought the earth was flat last year. I don't get how these teams are like, oh, I think we should give this dude $39 million a year.
Oh,
he thought
the
earth was flat.
They want to, but they don't know if they want to do it without Durant. They want both of them. If they can't get both of them, they may not try for Kyrie, which means Kyrie could end up in L.A. But that means he would have to take less than max space, and that's because the Lakers had no idea or thought process, according to Ramon Shelburne, that, oh, boy, we have to create salary room when we make a trade. And Griffin, New Orleans is like, you guys are a bunch of idiots. I'm not going to tell you. So did what he had to do, and then apparently they went back and wanted to redo the trade. And it's like, too bad.
David Griffin's like, no, I'm sorry. No redos. It's all good. You guys have them.
So now they're
that
scrambling.
Headache is yours now.
Right, so now they're scrambling to trade away the scrubs that are on that team, trying to create more salary cap room.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a lot of fun tonight. A lot of fun tonight. Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. Ryan Horvat en route. He's going to join myself at 6 o'clock for the Pro Hoops Draft Show live here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane right now, 5 o'clock hour on the Wendy's Big Show. In the right lane, how long can you wait to make a move? Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, you sit here now back down to 6 games over .500. You get swept out against the San Diego Padres. You lose 6 of 8 on the West Coast road trip, and Keston Hira, your boy, just continues to rake down at AAA.
I don't need him. He'll be there for the next several years, playing Brewers uniform going forward.
Got a lot of control.
Yeah, no need to rush him. We got control over
got
him.
Got 3 more years of Christian Yelich.
Got control over Shaw. Got control over Aguilar. Mm-hmm. No need to be making a move. Couple years of arbitration for Shaw. He's been decent in his career, so we'll hold on to him. Aguilar was an all-star last year. No need to move on from him. He can do it again. I'm just going to sit here. But see, the thing is,
and hang out.
This is the thing. So how long do you allow this to go on before you decide to hit the eject button? Because right now, you're not headed the right way. Right now, you're in a nosedive. So at what point do you hit the button and hit the parachute to get out? Or do you just crash and go, oh, well, next year? I mean, because literally that's what we're talking about here. You're in a nosedive. You're headed down. So are we going to hit the button, eject out, get the parachute, and land safely at the end of the season? Or are we going to go, I'm good, we'll play next year, and just crash into the earth for this season? Because half game out, right?
Half game out of the Chicago Cubs.
You're concerned that they may be getting near a low point of the season like they were against the Pirates before the All-Star break.
Yes, I think this could be rock bottom at this
point. Okay, well, if we get to rock bottom,
if they lose this series to the Reds.
Right. So if they lose 3 out of 4 to the Reds at home or something like that, and all of a sudden on Monday they're 2.5 games out of first place or something, and the free fall is on, then what? Then you're going to go hit the button? Or are you still going to sit there and wait and see what happens? To me, you're getting close to that point where you have to go hit it. You're getting close. And Adam McKelvey was on and said, you know, if I knew what the magic date was or what they had in their mind, I'd tell you, because I want to know too. Nobody knows. If I'm David Stearns, and he's a lot more patient than I am, I don't have much patience.
That's for sure.
In life in general. So he's got more patience than me. But Travis Shaw has an option. Just flop him. Shaw goes to AAA. Keston Hira comes up. And you just tell Travis Shaw, dude, I'm sorry. I know it sucks. I know you don't want to go down. But Arcia went down last year, came back, was a pivotal piece down the stretch. Santana went down, came back, was a pivotal piece down the stretch. Knebel went down, came back, was a pivotal piece down the stretch. This does not mean you're not coming back up at some point. But for right now, we need more offense. I have to go get him. That's it. And I have nothing on Aguilar, and I don't want to cut him. I have nothing on Thames, and I don't want to cut him. So sorry that you have an option. This is how it's going to have to go.
Right, and I think Travis Shaw is a professional enough to understand that circumstance and understand that to get yourself back, you're going to need consistent playing time that you're just really not getting a whole lot of here at the major league level if you're Travis Shaw.
And I got some more fun news I just thought of in my brain.
Here we go. That's a dangerous place, though.
Bacon option, Ben Gamel.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
You're not optioning Ben Gamel.
Because you want to know why?
No, I don't want to know why. I don't want to know why. Because they're not going
because
to.
Because your guy Thames can play in the outfield. And there's your backup outfielder for the corner spots. And Yelich or Braun, well, Yelich can slide over and play center on days
sure.
if needed, if Kane.
Because he's needed a couple of days off. He's
here
a little banged up, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then Travis Shaw's feelings don't get hurt. Gamble, you'll be fine. Go down there. We'll call you back up here a little bit.
Oh, no.
And Shaw, you're going to stay up here, and we're going to save your pride and all that. And Keston's going to come up. You're not going to play as much, but Keston's going to come and play, and you can rotate with Aguilar at first base or whatever.
How good could this team be if Travis Shaw was the dude off the bench? If he was your number one option off the bench and got himself right down in the minor leagues, and he comes up and he's your utility guy who's the left-handed HP.
But that's just it. If he goes down to the minor leagues and he gets himself right and he's hitting the ball, then he's your starting first baseman. Case closed. And here is at second,
sure.
and we're done with this. It's over. He's at first. You move forward. But if he can't figure it out, you're screwed.
414-799-1250 live at 105.7 FM. The Fan, that's the right lane. How long can you wait to make a move if you're the Milwaukee Brewers in the center lane? Are you happy or sad this draft means so little to the Milwaukee Bucks tonight? Because, Sparky, I'm a little sad because I always like when my team gets new players. Like, I'm a millennial, so I like shiny things. I like the shiny object. Dante DiVincenzo last year, I was like, oh, nice!
Yep.
Dante, I'm so juiced. This dude's going to have so much fun in Milwaukee. He just won a title with Villanova. And I was fired up. And now this year, I'm like, John Luehr, awesome, cool. On Wisconsin.
And he won't even be here. I mean, that's pointless to even get excited about him. So not really all you have as a Bucks fan is hope they trade into the second round and get somebody or buy a pick. They very well could buy a pick. Golden State
sure.
bought an Atlanta pick earlier tonight. So that could happen.
David Griffin's obviously trying to make deals.
You've had 100 trades already today, so you've got all of that to dissect. Trust me, the draft show will be something you'll want to listen to because stuff is just continuing to break left and right across the NBA right now. There is a ton of movement before the first pick is even made. This is about as busy as I can remember it in a long time before a draft.
And
this is a draft that's not all that great, to be honest with you. I mean,
no, it's kind of set in stone.
You're a couple at the top, and then after that, it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean,
it really is
going to be hit or miss of which one of these guys, after you get past the first three or four, are going to be really all that good.
It's a super boomer bust draft. And I think the weird thing is, too, Stevie, I don't know when was the last time you can remember a year where it was such a down draft, but it's slotted. Now that the deal for the fourth pick with Atlanta, it appears that that's DeAndre Hunter. You kind of know the first four picks. It's going to go Zion, Ja, RJ, and now DeAndre Hunter.
Yep.
And then it's anyone's guess from five through whatever.
And because it's a TV show, they're not going to let all these guys just walk up and make their picks in order. They're going to tell them, you're going to have to wait. We have to get all of our commercials in. We're going to have to let these guys up there talk for a little while on TV. We'll tell you when we're ready to make the pick. So it's not going to be walk up, here we go, here's our pick, up, walk up, here's our pick, walk up, here's our pick, walk up, here's our pick. And in 5 minutes, boom, we're done with the first four picks.
That's David Griffin.
It's going to play out for like 40, 45 minutes before you actually get through the first four picks of the draft.
No, David Griffin should legitimately stand there right off of the podium and just like right as Adam Silver turns around to walk like back inside those two doors where they walk through.
Walk right past him.
Just walk right past him and say, here we go. We're ready.
He's not even there.
We're ready.
Yeah.
Here it is. We're ready. This is our guy. Yeah. We already know. We already are selling jerseys for the last 3 months that we're getting Zion Williamson. Like, that could be how quickly this could go. And instead, we're going to sit here and wait. And maybe somebody will end up. I thought they would take a lot longer if they didn't have this fourth overall pick traded. They have it traded to the Atlanta Hawks.
What do you think?
Make the move for the number four pick.
First of all, do you think Zion Williamson knows what David Griffin has been doing? Do you think he knows? Do you think somebody has told him? We saw a shot
like
earlier on TV, like him walking through. Like, do you think he knows that he moved four already and that four is not the Pelicans' pick?
Yeah.
Do you think he knows that?
Yeah, I think Zion Williamson knows that.
You think he knows that?
I think Zion Williamson knows a lot more about the New Orleans Pelicans than a lot of other people in the entire world do already. He's pretty locked in there.
This has all been going on while he's there, getting ready to do TV, doing all this media
out.
And everything else. Yeah, buddy.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Pro Hoops Draft Show starts here on the Fan at 6. That's the center lane. Are you happy or sad this draft means so little for the Bucks tonight for the All-NBA? means a whole heck of a lot. And in the left lane, what made you a Bucks fan, Sparky? Biggest Bucks fan I know. Host of the Big and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show.
Family.
What made you a Bucks fan?
Family. I was born into it with my dad. My dad actually sent me a message earlier. Said for him it was Lou Alcindor. That's what kind of got him into his Bucks fandom. And for me, it was just, you know, my dad always had on the Packer game or the Brewer game or the Bucks game. So my earliest memories were watching, you know, Jay Humphries, Alvin Robertson, Sigma, Terry Cummings, those squads back in the 80s. That was my earliest memory. And then suffering along through the Chris Ford and Mark Dunleavy Bucks and all those horrible teams from year to year to year to year. And now getting to the point now where you actually have a true superstar who should be the MVP on Monday night when they have their TV show, and then have a chance to win an NBA championship in Milwaukee. To be honest with you, I wasn't so sure it was ever going to happen. So we'll have to wait and see.
105.7 FM, The Fan. This is the Wendy's Big Show out here at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. We'll have the Pro Hoops Draft Show coming up here after the conclusion of the Wendy's Big Show. Ryan Horvat is in the house. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. We'll take you pick by pick throughout that. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Ryan Shotgun. It's the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com.
Who posted this?
Who do you think?
It better not have been you, Horvat. If you posted this, you can leave. Did you post that? You better not have.
What's your favorite Tony Snell memory?
Who posted that on the fan account?
Who do you think that was?
Who posted that?
It was Bart.
It better not have been you.
Who do you think?
It was obviously Bart.
Right.
Come on.
Come on. Of course it was.
Nobody does that.
It's a good picture of Tony Snell, though, in the Fear the Deer uniform, scooping up for a right-handed layup.
On Instagram.
Weaving across a defender going up. See?
See, Trey Young asking, in the is this a real question? No, it's not a real question. And then whoever posted it didn't put their name next to it smartly.
I think the Tony Snell, my favorite Tony Snell memory was that 1-3 that he hit right at the top of the key. He catches, shoots, hits, goes down the floor, and then he didn't play the rest of the game.
I've always thought Tony Snell is a better basketball player than he's shown in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think he's a good ball player.
I think he's a better basketball player than what we've seen. I don't know if you'll see it in his next stop in the NBA, but I've always thought that if given the opportunity, I thought he could be better than what he's shown.
This is the Wendy's Big Show, Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. Take your call at 414-799-1250. Next.
Jamie, him running across the court to help everyone up. That's a response.
That's a legitimate thing, though.
You're just asking for this.
But you got to be a good teammate.
That's not very nice.
You got to be a good teammate.
He never should have posted that question.
Just like Anthony Mandel is a really, really good teammate.
He is.
He's going to let us all know who's winning. Big throwback Thursday on the Wendy's Big Show. Also, he's going to be notifying who's going to be winning our Summerfest tickets.
Can we talk about Tyler Hero's watch, too?
Oh, for sure. I got to get on that ice. I mean, oh, my gosh. My man Tyler Hero knows what's up. Wendy's Big Show with Summerfest tickets to give away here before we get out of here at 6 o'clock on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show live from the Q Club of Wisconsin from our radio.com sports mobile studios out here at the Q Club of Wisconsin, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard in Waukesha. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here as well out of the Q Club. Back in our Hales Corner studios is Anthony Mandela. He's been tallying up.
Doing a great job.
Using the hashtag Big Throwback at 105.7 FM The Fan on Twitter. Anthony, where are we looking at right now for who we're going to hear our nominees? One sec, let me go through this rather diverse setup here. Eminem, Megadeth, and Neil Diamond.
It is Megadeth by a hair right now.
Is Neil Diamond close?
Neil Diamond is not close. He does not have a vote.
What? Who doesn't like Neil Diamond?
Megadeth's lead singer has cancer. Twitter. What do you mean?
Well, so?
So what do you mean so?
Cancer.
Well, go find one on another group and nominate them next week. Go ahead, Anthony.
Bring in a ringer here with a
guy
with
cancer.
What more
do you need? Who's close?
Who's close here?
Eminem is the next closest.
Okay. Let's get Slim Shady in here. Slim Shady, please stand up.
I'm good with Eminem. But I just think we should do it for Megadeth. But your call, it doesn't matter. Summer weather is slowly coming to Milwaukee. And this weekend, if you're heading out to watch baseball at the park or firing up the patio grill at home, make sure the food you are serving up is quality meats from Robert Specialty Meats. In fact, Kay's brother is coming in from La Crosse this weekend.
Okay.
And he wants an Al Capone.
That's God's country.
He wants
there.
Me to go get him an Al Capone roast. Your tailgate party is always
pretty solid demand.
A winner with Robert's ribs on a stick, boneless pork ribs marinated in a smoky barbecue sauce and ready in just minutes. Or the equally popular marinated chicken skewers in barbecue garlic parmesan or Door County cherry flavors. Those are delicious. Another quick mealtime favorite is the Kinnickinnick whiskey flavored beef skewers. I've had these. You taste the whiskey.
Ooh.
I mean, you really
Ooh.
Taste the whiskey. If you like whiskey, you're going to love these beef skewers, folks.
I do.
Oh, my goodness.
I love beef and whiskey.
Dude, those are they're so good. I'll try some of Robert's original burgers like the cheddar and bacon. That's delicious. Or the mushroom and Swiss, plus over 30 varieties of sausages and brats to choose from. Call Robert's today, 262-549-MEAT, 262-549-MEAT for the best selection. And reserve your order. And when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their cherrywood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the perfect snack treats. You can also check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons for the best in meats. Shop Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
Well, if you forgot to talk about the jerky, you just stick one of them in. Well, I drive out there, Robert's right out, 164 out there in Waukesha. Grab some of those beef jerky sticks, pop them right in, cigarette lighter into the car, and heat them up, grab a bite after the morning show, and come out here to Q Club of Wisconsin, play a little pool out here as well. Have you been proud of me, though? Because I'm glad we're sitting where we are, Steve. So we're here at the Q Club of Wisconsin. We get to look out at all the pool tables and the bags areas, but you're sitting in between me and the three slots that we have over here, and I'm glad that you've sat in between me and the slots because I haven't played it all yet. So thank you. Thank you for doing that for
you
me.
You go to bars and play the slot machines?
Every once in a while. Sometimes they just sing to you, you know? Sometimes, like, you walk in and, like, you instantly hear them ringing over there. They're like, oh, they want to spit out. So I'll, you know, wander over and see what Andrew Jackson can pull out for me.
So the fool that posted on our fan account, what's your favorite Tony Snell memory? Now we're getting tweets. You got to be joking, Big Show. So I literally had a tweet back. Nope. Not us. I don't know who posted it. Don't come yelling at us. We could yell at enough on this show.
Nope.
Okay, so
I'm thinking it's Horvath's boy, Bart, in the morning.
Probably. Just put your name next to it. You want to post stupid stuff. So the draft show coming up tonight.
Yes, sir. Myself,
Ryan Horvath over here, 6 o'clock out at Q Club of Wisconsin. Plenty of time for you to make your way on out here and hang out with these guys and listen to them gamble on every pick probably. But this is what I want to know from you. So you told me you're going to Disney World now?
It's somewhat in the cards. It's like
when?
I'm trying to push it
when?
Sometime. I think like December time or something like that.
No.
Yeah.
You're not going for the Christmas season.
Apparently, yeah.
I'll tell you what. You stay here and I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go around Christmas season. You want to know why? Because it's amazing if you like Christmas. If you don't
love Christmas.
If you don't like Christmas, then you're going to hate it. It's going to suck. But,
oh, no, I love Christmas.
Oh, yeah. It's
I'm not
like,
a Grinch.
You got to talk to Andy Spitzer, who's been there for it, and he'll tell you about all the cool stuff they do at Christmas in Disney World. It's amazing. But the problem is it's super, super expensive. So, therefore, there's just no way that we can do that currently. But, yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Meanwhile, Ryan Horvath over here.
I got, like, no money in this wallet.
He's getting ready to go to Disney World as well. When do you leave, Horvath?
Why don't you grab a headset over here and not be off mic?
July 2nd? Right. Okay, something like that. So he's going to Disney World as well. And when he gets back, he's going to be on the World According to Sparky podcast.
For sure.
Myself, Andy, and Kay. And I've already told him that. But
Horvath.
I'm a
little feedback there.
Yeah, you sound good, though. I'm a little bit concerned about something currently that Horvath told me off the air. And I asked before I brought this up to make sure that his son is not listening.
Right.
So you told me off the air that your son has no idea that you all are taking him to Disney World.
Yeah, he's got no clue.
No clue. Okay.
No clue.
None?
None.
No.
They've been planning this
secret.
They've been planning this forever.
Oh, wow.
So this is really good. And you said your kid's like a little detective. So
yeah, he's into everything. Like, we bought him the Mickey suitcase for Christmas.
Yep.
And that's when we purchased, you know, the plane tickets
right.
and got everything set up. It's expensive as hell, by the way.
Right.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah. And so we were like, well, we should try to keep this a secret and then just take him to the airport. We're going with my in-laws as well. And so then when we show up, because they're going to fly out of Chicago. We're going to fly out of Milwaukee.
So yes, he'll have, even when he's on a plane, he won't know they're going.
He's never been on an airplane. He's never been on a train, a bus. I think the farthest he's been is Illinois and the Wisconsin Dells.
Okay. So
he's going to be in heaven.
Okay. So how old is he?
5.
Okay. I am going to have some advice for you because this similar type thing pretty much backfired in our
Steve
face.
Is just like so giddy right now.
I can see it in
this
his eyes.
This is awesome.
No, because I'm a little bit concerned about this.
Just oh.
Because I want to warn him so he doesn't.
It's supposed to be the most magical place on earth. What
right.
is there going to be
but
concerned about?
I don't want him to get heartbroken on this deal. So I'm going to tell you what happened to us.
Okay.
So, what was it, 3-4 years ago, whatever it was, we took our two boys, well, three really. Jackson was 4 months old. But prior to the whole Jackson experience.
Yeah.
So, in January of the year, we decided we were going to go. In July, we found out we were pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Decided we were still going to go.
Right.
But we started saving money in January to go the following year in June. So a year and a half to save for this thing. So then we get up and we get towards Christmas and we decide this is going to be fun. We're going to surprise them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I want to say they were in 4th and 6th grade. So, no, 2nd and 4th grade or something along those lines.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. So we go all out. So every day they come home from school and we give them a clue, right? And we tell them this is for their big Christmas present.
Right.
And it's a letter. So they collect all these letters. Then on Christmas, suitcase like you, we have a suitcase, right? And inside the suitcase, there's a plane ticket.
Right.
Inside another suitcase, there was a picture of Joe Zenzola inside of another suitcase.
That's a nightmare.
Think about that for a second, right? So all of this. So then we line up. All these letters, right? And
yeah.
We're helping them. We're shooting video. Oh, boy, this is going to be so much fun. It says, you're going to Disney World. That's
right.
What it said, right? Oh. Okay.
Cool.
Can we go play video games?
Dude, no way.
We were so mad.
I can imagine.
You have, well, you know how much it costs.
Well, that's a lot of prep work. It's a lot of money.
Is, yes. Right. Livid. She was hot. Like, we were both hot. Like, are you kidding me?
Right.
All of this, and the reaction was, can we go play video games? Oh, my God. So, no, wait. So, the next day. Yeah.
Damn kids.
I knew he'd love it. So, the next day, though, Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm pumping gas. I'll never forget it. I'm pumping gas outside. And the oldest one, I believe it was in 4th grade, he comes outside, and he's just standing with me, and I'm pumping gas. He goes, what do we do at this Disney World place? Like, what's there to do?
That's me.
He had no idea. Like,
that's me.
So literally from Christmas to we left in June, and we went like the week right after school got out in June. So
yeah.
It was like 125-degree real feel. Well, he's going to cook there now himself. So he's about to go through this himself.
Oh.
But so like all the way up. Like
season me up.
The 12-year-old now, Logan, he was like 2nd, 3rd grade. So he's like, well, it's not better than the Dells. The Dells is the happiest place on earth. You guys are wrong. It's not going to be better than the Dells.
Yeah.
The Dells. I'm like, it's not the Dells. It's better than the Dells. Well, what is it? I don't have a comparison. Well, is it like Great America? No. Well, what is it like? I don't know. It's like Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it. And so the whole time, they were not excited. Like, could not care less. Didn't. Whatever. Who cares? Yeah, fine.
They thought they were going to Shano.
Hadn't really ever been on a plane either. Well, then as we're getting closer, now they started to panic about the plane ride and started getting really nervous about going on a plane. I don't know if I really want to get on a plane, blah, 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 whatever. So we get on a plane. They survive, right? All is good.
Mm-hmm.
We land. Took them to Epcot the first day because we planned out strategically. Like, if we go to Epcot last, they're going to hate Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to Epcot first, I think I know that Epcot. Like, oh, this was the best thing ever. You guys are right. This was awesome. We look at each other like, oh, we're good.
Right.
If they like Epcot, they're going to love the rest of it. And now we go back pretty much every year, twice a year sometimes. But so they loved it. All I'm saying to you is just be careful because y'all are all excited. Like, oh, boy, he's going to love it. And then at the end of the day, it might be, oh, okay, this is cool. I mean, the airplane ride is going to be cool for him. For
right.
Sure.
Right. That's what he's obsessed with airplanes right now. That's his big thing. I'm afraid to fly. I fly all the time. I go to Vegas usually like 2 to 3 times a year, you know?
My man.
But I hate the flight, man. I have a couple cocktails before I get on the plane. My buddies are like, Ryan, it's 5 a.m. And I'm like, I'm nervous as hell. I'm like shaking. I'm sweating on the entire ride. And then the ride back is always the worst.
Well, you can't.
Especially when you lose money.
Oh, it's the worst.
You can't do that with him.
Well, no.
You can't be showing nerves.
That's what my wife said because she's like, you're going to have to keep it calm. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you probably should.
Can I have a cocktail? She's like, we're flying out. We're going to be at the airport at like 3 a.m. I'm like, can I have a cocktail?
Yeah,
like, yeah,
no, for sure you can.
Fine.
Even better, just have a couple of both.
Where are you flying out of?
Triple A. 8%
ABV. There's nothing open. There's no bars open at 3
a.m. Yeah, just have a couple of Bofordings.
The whole airport.
Yeah, a couple of Bofording triples.
Right. The whole airport's going to be dark. Like, you're going to think you're in an empty airport.
I'm going to have to tailgate.
Yeah, you're going to have to tailgate.
Maybe bring the cooler.
Yeah, see,
grill,
now that's what I like to go to Vegas. I like to get into the airport while everything's dark, get on the plane, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm here in Las Vegas. Right. It's amazing.
I'm at the pool.
It's his kid's first trip. It's not you.
So I'm worried
this
about
this.
He'll be all right.
If that's the reaction, my wife will go into a mini depression.
Oh.
Quick story. During Christmas season, we were like, all right, my son has been sleeping with us still. He's 5 years old, and he's still, when we do get him to sleep on the couch or in his
swear
room.
Oh, God, it's not going to happen.
Comes crawling.
We're at 3 right now. I had the same thing.
Comes crawling right
I'm
in the bed.
Not allowed to go to 5.
Sleeps right in the middle. Christmas night, he was like, I want to sleep in my own bed. I'm like, oh, thank God. Here we go. He goes to lay down. I go out in the living room. My wife is like crying. I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, I'm just not ready yet. So I'm like, all right. I go in his room. He's crying. And I'm like, you two, just get in the bed together. I'm sleeping on the couch. So
she didn't want him to leave the bed?
I'm saying, man.
Oh, no.
And she has been more excited about this trip than, well, I'm obviously, he doesn't know about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, he keeps seeing the commercials, and he watches the Disney Channel all day long.
So he's going to know about that. So he knows what Disney World is, at least.
He's been asking.
He's seen the commercials.
Literally 3 years now.
Oh, he'll go.
I want to go. Yeah. And we're like, okay, maybe one day we'll save up some money. So
nice.
He has no clue.
He's going to go crazy.
Couple of overs hit, this guy's going to Disney World.
He's going to go crazy. Easy.
I feel like that age range is easier to get him excited because you're in second, third, fourth grade now. That's what I was saying to my wife. These kids are playing Fortnite. They got all these video games.
Yeah.
Like, what's Disney World? It means you got to be outside in the hot. You got to wait.
Walk.
You got to wait in lines.
Yeah.
Nobody has the patience for that. These kids don't.
No, thanks.
I don't.
That's brutal.
See, that's the toughest thing is for him is going to be dealing with the heat,
mm-hmm.
dealing with the lines. And then figuring out, okay, so how are we going to do this so we can go back and get him a nap?
Right.
And then get back here to still be able to come back and see the fireworks and everything else. And then figuring out fast passes and how that all works together with reservations. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he knows, but his wife has to be a master planner at this point because strategically you have to plan all of this out in advance. You can't just show up with a 5-year-old and go, okay, we're going to do Disney World today and have no plan whatsoever.
Like, right. I just wanted to wing it.
You'll hate the whole experience if you do it that
way. She's got a whole map plan.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to do it her way. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
So I can't wait to have him on the World Record.
I'm excited.
Gracious.
I cannot wait because he's going to give a different perspective of, you know, taking a kid for the very first time that's 5 years old. It's going to be awesome. You're going to have memories you'll always remember.
I'm pretty excited.
Look for that at 105.7FMTheFan.com. Pretty excited for the Pro Hoops Draft Party tonight, brother.
Jacked.
Let's start it up. Ryan Horvath and I come up here next here with the Pro Hoops Draft Party out of the Q Club of Wisconsin. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is back tomorrow for the Wendy's Big Show with me and Gary Hellerson starting at 2.
105.7FM,
The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.